thought, no one understands me. No one gets me. And all the adults are going, yeah, I hear that from my kids all the time. And we forget we said that to our parents. And adults think it too. One poet put it this way. Hear my hour of need. I'm lonely, forsaken again. I'm wounded and left here to bleed. With no solace from a stranger or friend. Now, I asked the question, but I already know the answer. 99.99% of you at some point in your life felt that way, thought that. But in actuality, it's not true. It's not true. Not of any single person in this room. There's only one person, actually, who has ever lived and lives who is not understood and left alone by all the other people. And that was Jesus. And yet, he went through that partly so that we could know we're understood, that we're known. That when we think no one gets us, we might say it, but it wouldn't be true. God doesn't get us. He doesn't understand. Because he does. And not just because he's all knowing, right? But because he's fully man, fully human. There's an old saying. I'll refer to it later because it's in that poem. It's actually a song, but it's a poem. You don't understand someone till you've been in their shoes. Till you've walked where they've had to walk, experienced what they've had to experience, gone through what they've had to go through. Well, guess what? God has done that. How has he done that? He became a person, fully, completely, normally human, like all of us. And though those closest to him never got him while he walked the earth, and in his hour of need dispersed, and in Peter's case even denied him, he went through all of that, partly, part of the reason, was so that we could know without a doubt that God gets us. If I was to take a guess, when you think about Jesus and Christmas time, you probably think, yeah, Jesus, born of a woman, yeah, person, but you gravitate to the fact that he's God. And in so doing, in that way of defaulting to thinking about him, we miss a number of things. We miss the gravity, the weight, the depth of his sacrificial love. And that in becoming a man, fully human, born of a woman, still fully human, though transfigured, resurrection body that all believers will get to. In that willing sacrifice, we have a God that doesn't simply know all that we're thinking, know everything, but who gets us. That we can go to anytime, anywhere, in our hour of need. And that when we feel like or are thinking that no one gets us, which actually probably isn't true of the people around you either, God does. Jesus, God the Son does. because he was and is fully man. I want to look at in these Sundays coming up to Christmas, the celebration of the birth, Christ Mass, the advent of Christ, who this Jesus is, was and is. And today, probably review for most of you, but nonetheless, to dwell on the fact that Jesus, who is the Christ, that's not his last name, is a real person. Is. Came to be and still is a real person. The big phrase would be the humanity of Christ. So we'll look at a number of different verses this morning. Won't spend a lot of time in any one of those passages. This is a topical. But I want us to dwell upon the mind-blowing, really. How do you use your mind to dwell upon that which will blow your mind? Reality that in what we are celebrating, particularly this time of year, is that God became an absolutely normal, fully human, completely human person. And that one of the things that comes out of that, that he accomplished in that, is that having become like us in flesh and blood, he gets us. He knows what we are going through, not just in the simple knowledge sense, but in the actual having experienced it sense. And again, is still experiencing it because he's still the God-man. Join me in prayer, and then I will be referring to some verses that are in your outline as well as looking at some verses together. Father in heaven, thank you that we're coming to a time of year where we have this regular habit and freedom of particularly celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus, born of Mary. I ask that in your mercy, which is why that even ever happened, in your mercy you would grant us not to thoughtlessly go through the celebrations, the remembrance, the traditions, but grant that we would think deeply on who Jesus is and what that means. Starting today with the fact that he's a real person, his humanity. May we not simply state that or state that we know that, but may you grant us to understand that. Under this new covenant, writing your law on our hearts, Father, write that on our hearts. The depth and extent of who you are, your holiness and your love expressed in God the Son becoming man. And may it lovingly, gently and consistently drive us to your throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of things. The outline is going to be especially important this next couple of weeks. There's going to be a lot of passages on there. This morning's outline has a little extra information on there. Don't ever want to assume. We're talking about Jesus, the Christ, is a real person. Again, probably by way of reminder for a number of you, Christ is not his last name. It's a transliteration, which is not a translation. It means you take a word in one language and try and say that word in a different language. So it's a transliteration of the Greek word, which is a translation for the Hebrew word Messiah, which is a transliteration, anyone following me? Of the Hebrew word for anointed one. A great place to go for this in your New Testament is you can go to John 1:41, 4:25, and you see this made clear. Isaiah 61 talks about an anointed one. That's what Christ means, this anointed one. And if we were to take the time, we could trace all the way through Scripture, beginning in Genesis 3:15, that God had a plan. And that plan involved a man. In Genesis 3:15, the Lord is speaking to the serpent. He's handing out justice at this point for the rebellion against him in the garden by Adam and Eve. Death is promised. Sweat and toil are promised. Pains and childbirth increased are promised. Oh boy, I love that chapter. But in Genesis 3:15, the Lord says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So right there in the garden where there was truly paradise, God and man being both man and woman, made in his image, walking together, there was no sin. Right there, where it began, it all ended. Well, no, it didn't end. Things changed drastically. And so I didn't read the parts about what he says to Adam and Eve, but here in what he says to the serpent is actually a promise. A promise that all that you just heard is going to be the new reality for you, with death and dying, with toil, frustration, pain in childbearing. With all of that, though, there's hope, because I have a plan. And that plan involves a man. One born, offspring in the singular, seed, more literal translation, but we get the idea. A male offspring from the woman would crush the one who instigated the rebellion. We could move forward in Genesis and see that Noah's father called him Noah, meaning he will give us rest. Why? Where's the hope that a male child would bring rest? What rest was needed? Back to what the Lord said. Toil, sweat, death, dying, pain in childbirth, rest, relief from that. Well, was Elimelech just kind of a proud dad like all other dads? Oh, my son's the one. Well, even if he was, where does he get the idea that there's a man that would bring about a reverse of the curse? A reversal of what came about when Adam said, no, I got a better idea. I'm going to eat from the one tree you said no. Where does he get the idea that there would be a man who would bring about once and for all ultimately what was required, forgiveness, the mercy of God? Well, he gets it from what was passed down to him orally, that there was hope, though things were dark, though there was death and dying, a man would come. But it wasn't Noah. But it was Noah, but it wasn't Noah. Right? We know what happened with Noah. Mankind was spared, though most of mankind died in the flood. But through the ark and through that justice of God, man was preserved. But then he went ahead and got drunk, and he wasn't the one. Read for us this morning was Isaiah 7, another promise, more hope given, and in dark times. See, Ahaz and all of Israel, Judah, southern kingdom, the capital, so to speak, there where the temple was, they were shaking in their boots, literally, because their estranged brothers in the northern kingdom made an alliance with Syria, and they were taking over the lands, getting closer and closer and closer to Judah, had a stranglehold on Judah. And why? Why was the northern kingdom doing that? Because they set up calves and said, worship these. These are your God. What was the southern kingdom doing? Same kind of stuff. We have a better idea. Yeah. Yahweh got us out of Egypt. He got us out of that slavery. He's given us this land. But we got a better idea how to go from here. We'll do it our way. I think Frank Sinatra got his song from the Old Testament. And in that time, in their great fear and worry, he promised this: a virgin would give birth. Here we go, another woman, another birth. Huh, a child. And that was read for us this morning from Luke. You find it in Matthew. Christmas is about a child born. He wasn't plan B. He wasn't God going, oh, what am I going to do now? Adam, as the head and representative, Adam and Eve together, made in my image, male and female, have rebelled. There's death, there's dying. What am I going to do? And in the moments between them doing that and him giving out the justice, he came up with a plan. Oh, it's been his plan from before time began, and it involved a man. Didn't plan on rhyming, but it does, and helps us remember that. From Genesis to Isaiah, throughout the prophets, what we are celebrating the fulfillment of is what God promised. That a man, a fully human, born of a woman, would bring about the reverse of the curse. And that indeed he was. Born of a woman, like all people since Adam. Since Adam and Eve. Luke 1:31, 2:7, he's born of a woman. Now if you think about Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and God's promise, if you think about it for a minute, God doesn't need a woman or a man. He doesn't need people to make people. Adam came from dirt. Yes, gentlemen, we are dirt. Women, you are ribs, right? No, we're not. Well, we are, but we're not. Well, yeah, God didn't need people to make people. So he could have had the one who was going to reverse the curse be fully human without birth. But he didn't do that. We can speculate a little bit, and some might be right on some instances about why he did that, but or didn't do that, and why he did what he did. But what he said he was going to do, starting with to the serpent in the hearing of Adam and Eve, was that there would be one born of a woman. And what that does provide for us is no escape clause. Was that guy really the promised one? I mean, he wasn't born. He says he came from dirt. Well, I know God did it once, but he didn't, you know. It just rips the rug out from underneath us for any kind of excuse to say that I don't know what this thing is that's supposedly the one that's going to bring about reconciliation to God. No, he promised it, as was his plan, through a woman. Normal process there. Now, there was an abnormal part to it, or a supernatural part, right? We'll get to that next week, Lord willing. But he's actually born of a woman. She's pregnant, normal length of pregnancy, and gives birth, like all people. So, Adam was a real person, and we could relate, right? Well, on everything, except he wasn't born. He was made. There you are. But not God the Son. He's born just like you and me. My kids love to joke at me and go, "Yeah, yeah, Dad, we know. It's not like when you were a kid, when you walked to school uphill, barefoot, in the snow, on broken glass, both directions. We get it, Dad. Well, you know, some things have changed." No, I didn't go that way. I was on a school bus that didn't have heat, and the vinyl seats were hard and cold because I was in New Jersey, and we didn't have our cell phones to keep our minds off of reality all the time. Oh, but I was born. They were born. So was God the Son. Born of a woman. And not only did he have the normal birth process part, but he had normal human qualities. Realities of a normal human were his realities. A couple of them, and again, these are in the outline for you. Matthew 21:18, he hungered. Does it really say that? Yeah, it says that. Don't trust me. Go look at it later. Mark 4:38-40. He slept. He had normal physical needs. Food and sleep. John 11:35. Many of you probably know what that one says. Jesus wept. He had emotion. So from his physical realities to his emotional realities, his birth, what he experienced, normal, just like you and me. That also enabled him to actually die. He was just God appearing. Then it all would have been a show and not real. And God would be a liar. Though God appeared, he appeared really, truly, fully, completely as a flesh and blood person just like you and me. And no, he didn't go to school uphill in the snow, nor did he get driven in a car, nor did he have a cell phone. But all the other things that are common to human life, both then, now, right now, across the world, no matter what the country or culture is, he experienced it all as a real person. And he had to be a real person. Take you to Hebrews. Hebrews, jumping right in. Chapter 2. You could give a caption to Hebrews as greater than. A longer caption, Jesus is greater than. A much longer caption, Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is greater than Abraham. Jesus is greater than Aaron and the priests of the Old Covenant. Jesus is greater than a goat or a lamb sacrificed in your place. Jesus is greater, and Jesus is greater, and yet he is fully human. Not a hybrid, not an apparition, not an illusion, but fully man. Hebrews 2:14-18 says this, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood," in other words, since the Israelites to whom the promises were first given were people. "Prick me, do I not bleed?" Yeah, I know we say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Not true. You can hurt my feelings. I have emotions, right? Of flesh and blood. He himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. There we go. The one who in the beginning instigated all that we know now, the suffering, the dying, the lying, the hurting, all of that, the toil, the sweat, the pain in childbirth, he's the one. And you had to be human to do that. As per God's plan and promises, as per the fact that we're human, that we're real, that we're flesh and blood. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, since they were people, real people, human, He Himself became a real person. That through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation, it's a big word for payment, for the sins of the people. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to, there's that word again, help those who are being tempted. I mean, just let's admit it for a second, right? When you're in the pit of woe is me, welcome to the pit of woe is me. What are you thinking? You might even say it to the person around me. You don't get me. You don't understand me. Maybe they don't. Maybe you're right. I've had a little taste of that in various ways. It's been very humbling. First one was my mom died. Then my dad died. Finally, in some respects, they lived a long time, right? Then I knew what it was like to lose a mom or dad. Prior to that, I didn't know. So I might endeavor to comfort you in that moment when you've lost yours, but I hadn't yet lost mine. Matter of fact, I even came to my brother after my dad died in particular and said, "Bro, I'm so sorry about the loss of your dad." Because I didn't get it. And his dad died young. So I was getting it. Then my house burned down, lost everything in half an hour. And people who didn't lose their house said all kinds of interesting things to you. They didn't get it because they didn't experience that. And now I'm getting old. There is not a day I don't seem to have a pain. Usually at least two. Lately it's been at least four. Right? Now I have a different perspective for people who are getting old. Or maybe they're young and have a chronic issue. Right? But I have not experienced everything exactly and specifically, and neither did Jesus experience everything exactly and specifically. You don't know what it's like to have a cell phone and all that's on there at my reach. You don't know what it's like to deal with COVID. Yes, but in all of that, here's what the issue is: being tempted. Tempted to what? Tempted to pull an Adam. God doesn't know what He's talking about. I got a better idea. I'm going to do this my way according to my thinking. Right? Look at it. It appears three times in this passage. Verse 16. For it is not the angels He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, verse 17, He had to be made like the brothers in every respect so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of people. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. And now He must quickly turn over to chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Let me say it this way. We do not have a high priest who doesn't get us. We do not have a high priest who has not been in our shoes. We have a high priest who has and who does. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. As a full, complete, normal, real person, Jesus, God the Son, is just like us. Physical, emotional. And he was tempted just like we are. The difference comes in that he said to temptation, no. Not my will, but thy will be done. We think about the temptation of Jesus as only that time when it took place in the wilderness and he had no food for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan directly tempted him. But he remained human his whole life, surrounded by those who didn't get him. And we do see him in the hour of great need, praying in the garden. Father, if you're willing, pass this cup from before me. Where are the disciples? Sleeping. When he gets arrested, where are the disciples? Don't know. They scatter quickly than kids when you say, hey kids, it's time for some broccoli. Actually, I've probably run faster than the kids. Gone! Not Peter. Peter said, though, no, Lord. I got a sword. I'll cut off an ear. I'm there. And a girl comes up. Surely you're one of them? No, I'm not. Third time calling down curses upon himself. Jesus is alone. No one gets him. The temptations that he faced were just like ours. He gets us. He didn't sin, though. He didn't sin. Your issue isn't your specific details. Your issue is your weakness. My issue is my weakness. That whether it be my uphill travels to school in the snow, barefoot, both directions, on broken glass, with parents who just don't understand. The issue is my weakness. My weakness is that I think I got strength, and I want to figure it out on my own. Right? And go up my own way, instead of going to the one who is infinitely strong and able. In this portion of Hebrews, it makes us clear why this matters. What do we do with this? So what? Jesus was flesh and blood, just like me. Verse 16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of undeserved kindness, that we may receive mercy and find undeserved kindness to help in time of need. Now, was God not the God of undeserved kindness who helped Israel when they called upon him? Yes. But we have more than they had. Well, not really. Well, yeah. Well, no. Yeah. We have fulfilled what they had promised. The one who would deliver would first be tempted, and then, though tempted, sinless. And he who knew no sin would be made sin, so that his people would become the righteousness of God. This one would be fully human, fully man, flesh and blood, to become a merciful, faithful high priest, a high priest who gets us, who understands us. So when you're in the pit of woe is me, it's a lie. There is a person who gets you. There is a person who completely understands you. There is a person who's been tempted in every way like you're tempted, but I would say the intensity of his tempting was far greater than ours. And as you're in that pit of woe is me, which is really not a pit, it's a pedestal. There's no one like me. No one who's suffering like me. No one has known rejection like me. No one has known hardship like me, and pain and trials and difficulties like me. He doesn't kick the pedestal off from underneath you or kick dirt over your head in the pit. He says, come to me. I understand you. I've walked where you're walking. I've lived, I've become human, I am still human. Just come to me. Not only based upon the promise, but upon the fulfillment. I came. So come. That's what him being fully human means. The one more extension of mercy and grace, the final, most condescending, and I can't find a better word for that. It's not a negative word, it's a positive word. God stooping down as low as he possibly could get to say, come to me. I get you. The rest are most of the words of that song, but it's poetic, it's a poem. Remember the first verse. Here in my hour of need, I'm lonely, forsaken again, I'm wounded and left here to bleed. That's how we think and feel. It was actually true of Christ. With no solace from stranger or friend. Who hears my cry to revive and restore? One who has been here before. He's been in my shoes. He's been out on this road before. He's been tested too. He's been through this door. He feels the pain. He heals the bruise. He's been in my shoes. The union of God in a man is a mystery that I can't understand. But now with my suffering known, I'm reminded that I'm never alone. Who's been tried and tempted this way? Jesus, who now hears me pray. He's been in my shoes. He's been down this road. He's been tested too. He's been through this door. He feels the pain. He heals the bruise. He's been in my shoes. He, I'm going to change a word here, is a person just like me. But he lived his life blamelessly. Now I'm begging to see. He holds my hand. He understands. Let Christmas, the birth of the God-man Jesus Christ, and the celebration this year of that be a reminder that he gets us. And he came to get us. And we get to go to him. The one who understands us. No matter who we are, where we are, when we are, male or female, red or yellow, black and white, USA, North Korea, no matter where, no matter when, because he is a person. Join me in prayer. Lord God, I wouldn't take my shoes off and walk through harsh ground just to understand someone else. I'm a wimp and selfish, but you have done far greater than that. We know it, we proclaim it, we believe it. Help us to believe. We can't fully understand it or explain how it can be, but it is that God the Son became a man. Lord God, to you be the glory and praise for that. Thank you for the mercy and grace that means to us. We have a high priest, one who is seated at your right hand, interceding for us, who gets us, who knows us, who understands us. Forgive us for not going to you. Call us, pull us, drag us. Lead us again and again, Father, each one here, maybe for the first time this morning, or maybe for the first time in a long time. May each one of us go before your throne of undeserved kindness, not only knowing that you have provided for that through the death of Christ, but that we do that through Christ, who understands us, was tempted as we are. That we would turn to you for our strength, for help. Casting our cares upon you because you care for us. That we would live as Christ who became as us. In Jesus' name. Send you off the closing words from Jude. Now to him who was able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. You're dismissed.